superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. Brockman here, as always, joined by Adam, TJ. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's cracking? What's cracking?
Wearing purple today for the celebration. No, I'm just kidding. It's over, guys. The NBA season is officially concluded. The Denver Nuggets are your NBA champions in five games.
Just like I predicted.
Taking out the Miami Heat. Is that what you said, Denver in five?
Oh, at the beginning of the season.
At the beginning, the very, very beginning.
Before the first game.
How are you guys going to remember this NBA season? Is it for the greatness that we saw from Jokic in Denver all year, or is it something else, Adam?
It has to be the coronation of Jokic becoming arguably the number one player in the league. I think most people think he's that guy right now. And cementing his legacy. You know, when players don't win championships, there's always that doubt. There's always that, oh, well, this guy didn't get it done. You know, he was a great player, but he never won a ring. And now Nikola Jokic has a ring. If he doesn't win one more ring the rest of his career, it doesn't matter. He still won a ring, and he's an all-time great. And he's cemented that status by winning this championship this year.
I think that's a good take. TJ, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, neither of my teams won, so this year sucked. So, no,
I'm with you.
We're 0-4.
You know, yeah. The thing with Joker is this, right? It's like a lot of people just discovered that guy, it's seemingly in the last 3 months, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The thing is,
sure.
The man had two previous MVP seasons, arguably one or two, the first or the second best player during the regular season this year. As the season concluded, it was obvious he was number one. So if you're someone who paid attention and knew that this guy had been good for a very long time, but what he did in these playoffs was pretty outstanding. But I brought this point up on the big show earlier today. You know, I look back to last year's Nuggets team, and you know, they lost to the Warriors, who went on to win the championship, obviously. But Joker last year averaged 31-13-6. Somewhat similar numbers to what he put up this year.
In the playoffs or in the regular season?
In that playoff series against the Warriors.
Okay.
So he put up similar numbers, but I think the key was the resurgence and the return of Jamal Murray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, as we know, Bubble Murray looked like he was on his way to becoming an all-time great.
Yep.
Blew out his knee, which was just, you hate to see it, especially when a player's that great, get hurt. It took him 2 years. I'm sure Rich at some point was complaining that he was load managing. But no, he was just trying to get his body back, his knee back. And then you see what Jamal Murray did. He was definitely a piece that was necessary, because last year, I think their second top scorer was Will Barton. You know, so having Murray in there, in addition to what Joker was already giving you, that was a hell of a 1-2 punch, man. And they were head and shoulders above everyone. They did their thing.
Yeah, you throw in the Aaron Gordon deal was awesome for him, awesome for the Nuggets. Big guy, able to rebound, athletic. He's able to run the floor. You saw what he was able to do. He had a couple games where he took over the first quarter and another game.
Set the tone.
Took over the first half and another game. MPJ didn't play great this series, but played really well in the playoffs and this regular season.
And in game five, the elimination game. He had a really good game yesterday.
And he had a really good game
yesterday. That's the one everyone's going to remember, Chris, 16-13.
You're right.
They're not going to remember that picture you showed me of him taking a jumper with those two wide open. No one's going to remember that. It was like the closeout game,
he got busy. He was 3 of 22 or something from 3 in the first four games. Ugh. And then throws in a 16-13 to help him win. His kind of emergence, his health, being fully healthy. We saw what he was capable of on the glass. I mean, he's a legit 6'10", capable of on the glass and defensively. Yeah, I'm really happy for Denver. I'm happy for Jokic and Murray and their fans. I'm happy for Michael Malone. Like, this, he's a really, really good head coach. Saw some of the freezing cold takes going around today of, man, it's going to be a shame when Denver misses its championship window because their coach isn't good enough. Well, those are all over now. Like, Michael Malone is an NBA champion, head coach. And I think this Denver team is going to be remembered pretty fondly. And I think it's something, TJ, we brought up on the big show earlier this week, and I think we should have it right now. Is Denver going to be one of those championship teams that's one and done, or is do they have that potential, Adam, to kind of maybe run off two or three of these things, get back to the finals a couple of more times? What are your thoughts on a possible Denver dynasty?
Well, the key to the Denver dynasty will be injuries. And to win an NBA championship, everything really needs to go right. You can't have major injuries. You have to have team chemistry. You have to have guys playing hot at the right time. And with Denver, two of their key players are Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And if you look at the past couple years, those guys have been injury plagued. Porter Jr. with his back, and then obviously Jamal Murray with his ACL. So to me, that's the key. If those guys can stay healthy and not have any major injuries, I think Denver is set up to be a perennial contender for the next 5 to 6 years, considering how young those guys are. They're all under 30 still. And you have Jokic still right in the peak of his prime. You have Murray, who still might even get better after this year. He's only 26 years old still. Porter Jr. is only 24. So the injuries will be key, but if you can keep that core together, I can see potentially multiple championships with this team.
Yeah, and you look how awesome Bruce Brown was, TJ, in the playoffs, hitting big shots. Christian Braun, like you said that he went back-to-back, and I was like, oh, was he on the Warriors last year? No, I'm an idiot. He was on Kansas last year.
You know, Christian
and won
Brown,
the national championship.
And when you have that question, what can Brown do for you? Well, for the Nuggets, the Browns... The two Browns
delivered, man.
One looks like Braun, but it is Brown. Bruce Brown and Christian Brown. Like, Christian Brown won 3 high school state championships. Oh. He then went to Kansas, won a natty, and now back-to-back champion, as I said. Bruce Brown, like KCP. KCP kind of, he was the only guy on that team, I believe, that had a ring prior to.
And he was the only guy over 30. He is exactly 30. He's the only one 30 and up to get any minutes on the Nuggets.
So, you know, we know how the Stars played. We know how their two alpha dogs played. And then we saw Aaron Gordon, the MPJ. You know, but you got to give KCP props. You got to give the Browns props, you know. And that's the type of structure and kind of team chemistry that wins you championships. Because obviously, you know, your big dogs got to eat. But it's about the... I don't want to call them bench players because Jimmy Butler hates that. The teammates, the other guys who aren't number one on the call sheet, they're not the stars, man, but they play their roles to perfection. And that's what the Nuggets did, man. They were a well-oiled unit. Like, they formed like Voltron, obviously, and to quote Wu-Tang, and Joker was the head. But, man, this team, I was impressed. I was impressed. They were so well-coached. They were so well-disciplined. I said that yesterday. Could they be a dynasty? I don't know because, like I said, right now I'm not sure what the contracts look like. I don't know if maybe someone could opt out or whatever. But you would have to think now that Denver might be a destination, right, for some of these vets.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like, going to be my point.
Where do I want to go? I want to go ring hunting. Maybe I want to go there.
I want to play with the Joker, man.
You know, Tom Pelissero brought up a good point on the big show yesterday where he said, like, football teams don't necessarily have these old vets that they keep on the rosters, right? But you look at a guy like Uncle Jeff Green, right? There are videos of him pulling Aaron Gordon to the side and kind of coaching him on the floor as only like a vet that plays the same position could do. And he would tell him, you know, when you got your guy up high, like push him down. And there were just like things that he was telling Aaron Gordon, who was soaking it all up and then going out there and kind of doing what Jeff had kind of put into his head. So that's why you have these vets that kind of hang around. That's why you have the UDs and guys like that, because they see things and DeAndre. They can relate to these players. And like I said, big props to the Nuggets, man. It was kind of like a Spurs title where, it's not always the most exciting, you know. Was not going to be a whole lot of SportsCenter highlights, but if you love basketball and you just love great teamwork and basketball played at the truly the highest level, that's what the Nuggets
are. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, Adam. Is it now going to be like, man, I just want to play with Joker. Like, this guy's so awesome, and he makes everybody around him better. He was their leading – I know Jamal Murray led the finals in assists, but he was their leading assist guy all year. Joker averaged a triple-double this year, right? For the regular season?
I'm not a
I think he was close.
He was very close.
He was very. I mean, look, I like to round up personally. So to me,
you like to round up. Is it now going to be, to TJ's point, is Denver now a destination for free agents?
It Joker absolutely has to be. 9.8 dimes. So to me, that's 10. Okay. So
I was looking at the stats. Jokic for the playoffs averaged 30 points a game, 13.5 rebounds, and 9.5 assists. So he almost averaged a triple-double for the playoffs.
That's ridiculous.
A 30-point triple-double. That's absurd. It absolutely is a free agent destination. Who would not want to play with this team? They're so unselfish. Yeah. Jokic will get you the ball. You will get more money from playing with this team because you will get open shots and you'll become the best player possible that you can be. And say you go there for like 1 or 2 years, you up your stock, and then you get your real money somewhere else after you've potentially won a ring and gotten to play with the most unselfish superstar in the league.
I think it's a no-brainer. Just look at the style of play. Not in this series, which I want to talk about in a minute. They're up and down. They run. They shoot a ton of threes, and it's just fun. It's fun basketball. I got to say, also, mad props to Denver for adjusting the way they play. The Heat really uglied up this NBA Finals. All of these games were physical. They were low scoring. Yep. The pace was exactly how Miami wanted to play. I think they just ran out of gas, TJ. I think they were just tired. They really exhausted themselves and fought and scrapped every single round to win these series. Yes, they got lucky that Giannis got hurt. Yes, they got lucky that Julius Randle twisted an ankle. They got lucky that Tatum twisted his ankle in Game 7, but so what?
They got lucky that DeAndre DeRozan didn't travel.
Exactly. But they still had to beat all those teams.
Yeah.
You know, they went toe-to-toe. They beat 3 of the top 4 teams in the East to get to the NBA Finals, and I think they were just out of gas. Jimmy Butler, I bet we're going to find out something was wrong with him physically. He just wasn't himmy in the Finals the way he was in the previous 3 rounds. But they were able to really ugly up these games, and Denver withstood it, made enough shots, made enough plays.
Made enough adjustments.
Adjustments, coaching, the power of Murray and Jokic, their ability. They were able to will them through all these games and win a championship. And I think that, you know, needs to be said.
Yeah. And Chris, you know, I think a few podcasts ago, you said something to the effect of like, they're going to have to score, you know, Denver's going to score 120 a game. Like, they're going to have to score a lot.
Right.
The most points scored in this NBA Finals were 111 points, and that was by the Heat.
Wow.
Wow.
And that was not the way Denver had been playing. So they adjusted.
And Denver, 109 in their win? That was the highest they had?
109, 108.
That is crazy.
Yeah, 104.
I would never have thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, 108 twice, once in a loss and once in a win.
I never thought that would have happened. I thought Denver would have been in the 120 this whole finals. Miami did a great job. They were just inconsistent shooting.
Yep.
Like they weren't against Boston and weren't against the Knicks.
And they were undermanned too.
Yeah, and you can see the role players that played so outstanding against your Celtics kind of came back to earth.
Yeah, I mean,
in this
where
series.
Was Caleb Martin?
Caleb
this
Martin, he averaged only 7.4 points a game.
What was he, 17 plus against Boston?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously you have Gabe Vincent, who had good first 2 games of the finals and then did not play well the final 3 at all. And then I said before the series started that for the Heat to have a chance, Jimmy Butler needed to score 27 to 30 points a game, and he averaged 21 plus. So Jimmy had a decent series, but he, like you said, he wasn't the guy that we all saw in the first three rounds.
He did nothing last night until the last 2 minutes, yeah. Essentially.
And he had a really bad shooting percentage last night.
Yeah.
I thought Bam played really well in the series, actually.
I think so, too, yeah.
I think Bam definitely upped his stock.
Yep. Yeah, he played really well. But overall, yeah, the guys who were just playing out of their minds for the Heat in the first few rounds just couldn't really get it done against Denver, and I think that was just the main difference.
Yeah, good run by Miami, obviously. You know, can't take anything away from them. It's just curious where they kind of go from here.
Dame Lillard. The Miami Heat need to do whatever it takes to trade for him. They need
wow.
to think about that. You could trade Tyler Hero, one or two first-round draft picks, and somebody like
Vincent
Caleb Martin.
Yeah,
one
guys.
Of those guys. If you're the Miami Heat, he is the perfect piece to the championship puzzle. Oh, you have man. Him as the number one guy. Jimmy Butler is the number two, which is perfect for him. I don't think Jimmy Butler is a number one guy in a championship team. He is a great number two, like a Jamal Murray. And if you are able to get Dame Lillard to the Heat, I think you're favored to come out of the East again next year.
Simply because Dame has gone on record and said that Bam's his boy. And
he wants to play in Miami, there, or he wants to live in Miami.
He wouldn't
whatever,
go
right?
there had they won the championship. So, you know, that was something that he said, too. So they didn't win the championship. Wow. It's all going to come down to this what Dame wants his legacy. And I don't want to get too far off the Nuggets or the Heat, but it's going to come down to what he wants his legacy to be. Does he want to be that guy who sticks with one team his whole career, which is very admirable? Or does he want to go out and kind of solidify his place in history and get himself a seat at the table that only a championship ring can get you into that restaurant, so to speak?
Yeah, yeah, we've never seen Dame Lillard in a NBA Finals type of situation. And we all believe, at least I believe, that he can be like a Steph Curry type of incredible, like 30-point-a-game, win the NBA Finals type player. And this is his real opportunity to do that. I just don't see that happening of Portland. And like you said, TJ, it's good to be loyal. It's good to be on the same team. But at the same time, if you know your team has no chance to really get there, why not go to another team before you're out of your prime and you don't have that chance anymore?
Yeah, Dame's 32. Birthday coming up in July. So he'll be 33 for next NBA season.
It's now or never,
I mean,
really, for him.
Yeah, it's kind of in a now or never situation.
But also, let's just say that he wouldn't get Dame. You look at this team, four of the very top players are all signed through 2026. So this Heat team's going to be together.
Yeah, I guess my point bringing this up is that...
Are you going to do it? Are you going to pull a
Rich now? No. I'm just saying, as they are right now, are they good enough to win a title? It seems like they're missing one piece, right?
Well, you got to ask yourself, right? If Tyler had played, if Oladipo had played, how much of a difference would that have made?
That's
could
true.
That have... stretch this out. I'm not saying they could have won. Definitely would have made it a more competitive series. So,
but if Hero's in there, we don't get the Caleb Martin series against Boston. We don't get Gabe Vincent probably getting a number of shots that he got, right? Hero's kind of eating up those looks, I believe. Same thing with Oladipo, even though he's more of a defender.
Yeah, and he didn't play a tremendous lot of basketball this year. I remember he had a lot of DNPs, but... I don't know, man. I think that this Heat team, like I said, they're a good team. They're a very good team. They have their core signed for another 3 years. So, I mean, you know, it's all about what Pat Riley, Alonzo Mourning, that front office wants to do. They want to stick with this team. Obviously, there are improvements that can be made and probably do need to be made if they do want to take that next step.
I just wanted on the record that my fears before the playoffs of Miami were vindicated. Didn't want to play them. Didn't want Boston to play them in the first round.
Yeah, you said that from the get-go.
I'm like, nope, I want no part of this Heat team, and it's because of kind of what we saw in the playoffs. They're super scrappy. I mean, I don't love the idea or the notion of Heat culture, but it seems like it's a real thing.
Why don't you like the idea of that?
I think I just don't like their fans.
But truly, how many Miami Heat fans do you know that you... like talk to on a regular? I don't.
You know what
I
is?
Really see. I know a few Heat fans.
I know a few,
and they're
but
all super cool. And so I don't have.
You know what it is? I think it's because I listen to Lebatard sometimes. And,
oh, okay.
And they've got a few guys who are so obnoxiously pro Heat, obviously because they're a Miami based show.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's just kind of just like, ugh, Miami. Like Jimmy Butler's on any other team, I'd love him. He'd be one of my favorite players, just because the way he plays and the style and the grit and the heart. And you know, I think that stuff matters. And whether, you know, strip away the name and the identity of Heat culture, but it's the way they play, the way they're constructed, starts from the top down, Pat Riley, Alonzo Mourning, and it goes all the way to the last guy on the bench. You know, the teammate, as Jimmy Butler would say, he doesn't want to call them bench players. It's really admirable. They what they did this year, I don't think should be forgotten. It was really impressive.
An 8 seed going to the NBA Finals. And
I mean, they're really a 7 seed. They were the 7th best team in the East.
And you look at it, they were, what, 3 games away from a championship, if you want to put a twist on it.
Crazy.
So, yeah,
what they did this year was so impressive. And I just think they ran out of gas. I think it's a real thing. You're just exhausted.
Yes.
Kind of like Boston last year. That crew had played so many playoff games, basketball games in the year plus. They're just exhausted.
Yeah, you do run out of gas.
Inexperience, and you're just tired.
And their one guy who a lot of people say is a superstar, Jimmy Butler, he played like it in the first 3 rounds, but in the finals, he just wasn't the number one superstar that you expect.
Yep.
So that was just, you know, the main difference. And
you need a full team. Look at what Denver just pulled off. You need a full team. You need 8 guys. You really need it. You can't win with 7. You're not going to win with 6, obviously. You need a full 8 plus, maybe 9, to win an NBA championship. And Denver did it. Congratulations to them. This now changes every conversation about them forever now. Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Malone as a head coach and MPJ and KCP and Aaron Gordon as you know, contributing superstars, you know, stars. This changes everything now. And now the conversation is going to turn to Jokic. And I've been saying it for weeks now, is where you put him on the all-time list. And he is rapidly climbing the all-time list. And if he can put together 2-3 more of these type seasons, gets back to another finals, maybe they win another ring. Suddenly we're talking about him, TJ, as blasphemous as it is going to be to you. About Hakeem Olajuwon, about the number one of the top centers of all time.
Yeah,
he gets that second ring. Get ready, buddy.
I understand, as you know, as you said before, talk is talk. But to me, like, he would have to win, I don't know, 3-4 titles for me to put him in the top 5 centers of all time. Because you look at the top 5, I mean, just me personally,
center's a good group.
You have to say Bill Russell, even though I didn't see him play. You have to say Wilt Chamberlain. Then you have to go Kareem. You have to go Dream. You have to go Shaq. It would take a lot for me to knock one of those guys out of my top.
Only one title for Wilt.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Wilt Chamberlain, bro. He has literally every other record.
I understand.
You know, probably second. I'd have to say Shaq was probably the most dominant player.
Different game when Wilt played.
But again, you know, I'm not big on these lists, guys, because like there's no way to quantify or validate these lists, because as I'm very fond of saying, until Doc Brown finishes that DeLorean and we can hit 88 and go back in time and pull some guys and bring them back to the future here, these lists are just, like I said, you're going to have a list.
It's our
Adam's
personal
gonna
list.
Have a list. I'm going to have a list.
But we did this the other day, pre-show, Adam. TJ and I were coming up with the top, was it 15?
Top 15.
We were coming up with top 15, and we essentially had the exact same list minus 2, right?
Minus 2, yeah.
So let's make it a top 17. At the end of Joker's career, is he in the top 17? Who on your list and my list does he jump?
Oh,
let's project it out. Let's say he gets one more title, another MVP, and makes it back to another NBA Finals.
Top 17.
Does he crack your top 17? Does he take out Dirk? I think he takes out Dirk.
Well, Dirk was in yours.
Dirk was on mine. Elvin Hayes?
I'll give him this. If he gets multiple championships based upon his skill set and his MVPs, to make it not an argument, I'll say, top 25.
Top 25 all time?
We could put him in there without much of an argument. That is providing he gets one or two more rings.
All right, Adam, top 25 for Joker, and then I have another question for you after. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what your guys' lists are, but
It's
probably the same as yours.
Take a second to write down your top 15.
Yeah, just write down your top 15. It's probably going to be very similar. We have MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Magic Bird, Russell, Wilt, Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Elgin Baylor, Hakeem, Oscar Robertson, Elvin Hayes, Steph, Dirk.
Dr. J.
Dr. J.
Moses Malone.
Moses Malone. So, you know, that's pretty much a top 20.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can definitely crack the teens for sure if he wins another championship. The guy's still only 28 years old. And the thing with Jokic also is that his game will not decline that much as he gets older because he doesn't jump. You know, he can barely jump over a book.
Yeah, right.
So
I've never seen him dunk, have you?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, but that's not the thing. You see so many players, you know, like the James Hardens of the world, not to get you salty, TJ, but you see guys like that where it's, you know, that decline because they rely on their athletic ability. And right. Jokic just isn't that guy that relies on that. So I could see him going for another, he's 28 now. I could see him playing like this for at least another 6-7 years if he keeps himself in shape. So you have another 6-7 years of this prime Jokic. I don't see another reason why they can't win at least another ring. And then if he wins two rings, you have to put him in the discussion of being better than Hakeem Olajuwon. You have to put him in the discussion of being better than Elvin Hayes and whoever else you mentioned towards the end of that list.
Yeah, Moses, Dr.
Moses,
J.
Yeah, Dr. J. Dr. J, as great as he was, and he only played in the NBA for, you know, a few years. He didn't play his entire career there, but he only had one ring. And so if you have more rings than him, you have more rings than Elvin Hayes, you have as many rings as Hakeem, he has to be part of that in terms of that discussion being at that level.
How about this for a what if for you guys? These guys are both the same age, 28 years old. They each have won titles in the last 3 years. The rest of their careers, who do you got winning more championships, Giannis or Joker?
That's a great question.
Giannis or the Joker, in the next 8 years.
I mean, it's such an impossible question to answer because 2 years ago you asked us that and it's going to be Giannis, right? For sure.
For sure.
Now you ask, is that, and recency bias is going to say maybe Joker. But the fact of the matter is, there's a chance that neither one of those guys win a championship again.
Right.
You know? So you really, it's so hard. The league's so competitive. And also, Adam, you said something about 8 more years. Obviously, he was excited, even though outwardly he didn't show it. Do you really believe this man's going to stay around for another 8 years? Because something tells me after yesterday, I feel like maybe like 5 years and he's going to be like, peace.
That is a good point. That is a good point.
So is he going to have the desire to stay around and play till he's, you know, 38, 39, 40? I don't know the man. I've never seen him in person. I've never spoken to him. But just based upon my eyes, what I see, and the way he seems to have this affinity for, like, he treated this like a 9-to-5 last night, guys. Yeah. He like treated this like a job.
Yeah.
And I know, Chris, you know, you and I talked earlier before the show about, like, people celebrate differently. And I completely get that. But we all know, well, we've never done it, but we understand how hard it is to win a championship in any sport. My man got done. You wouldn't have known, had you just turned the TV on while he was getting interviewed, you wouldn't have known if he won 4-0 or lost 0-4. Like, you wouldn't have known he just won an NBA title. So I understand, like, that's his makeup and that's how he is and he wants to get home, but I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a guy who's playing until he's 38, 39 years old. I'm not sure.
I guess that's what makes him so good, right? You know, you're this the whole time. You're even
keeled.
Yeah,
I respect
that. You're not too high. You're not too low.
Like, I know personally, like, obviously my favorite player of all time, Michael Jordan, he cried his first time winning it, and then he cried hysterically on the 4th championship. And then you see Jokic after the game just literally just shaking all of the Heat players' hands first, which is a very classy gesture. But usually what happens when somebody wins a ring is they celebrate and then they give the handshakes maybe after.
Right.
This guy goes right to the Heat players. He shakes all of their hands. And you don't see any emotion. He just says, we get to go home now. Like, there's no emotion at all.
Wild.
He started to get a little more celebratory in the locker room. I'm sure some champagne was in him. He started to have fun.
I think when his, you know, it's his daughter, right? When his daughter came out, like, that was really cool.
Did you see him dunk Murray in the pool?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was fun. But, like, on the court, though, this guy just, like you said, TJ, it looks like it was just another day at the office.
He seemed like he worked a 12-hour shift and then got told you got to put 2 extra hours in of overtime. And he's just like, oh. Now I get to go home. Like, and I understand, you know, you're probably tired. You put in the work, and that's just probably his personality. But even so, when the team was celebrating, they kind of did like an overhead shot. He literally was behind. He like did his thing, and then he took his daughter, and he was behind the entire mob of people that was on that stage.
And when you see,
he was just like standing there talking to somebody, but he wasn't in the mix. He wasn't in the celebration when they took the picture, and all the stars were sitting on the stage, and all the like the teammates or the bench guys. He was at the very end holding his daughter, like. I don't even know if he made the team picture, to be honest with you.
I did see him in some photos, but he was way off to the side and the
from
back.
From the TV side, he was way to the left. Yeah. You know, and like I said, it's admirable. I personally enjoy a little bit of, you know, get it off your chest and say it with your chest. But, hey, man, no disrespect. If that's how you celebrate, that's how you feel.
I like to see the emotion come out. That's beautiful to see because you saw it with Murray. Me personally, I'm very sensitive. I know I would cry if I was the NBA and
for
I won a championship. And so I always kind of, maybe not necessarily respect, but I'm kind of, I admire somebody who's so even keel all the way. It's almost like a Buddhist way of living life,
super
where it's just
stoic.
Not too high, not too low. Yeah. And I think that's a great way to live, especially with playing sports, how emotions can actually hurt you as much as they can help you.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I love everything about this
I mean,
guy.
he definitely didn't party like Aaron Gordon last night.
It's not like Aaron, it's not like Aaron Gordon.
You know, but you saw him. You look at some of the videos from the locker room, and it was like the man didn't even know what to do with a bottle of champagne. It was just like, and there's something I want to say here, and I wanted to make an analogy, but I don't think I can say it into the microphone, so I'm going to tell you guys after we're done. But it was kind of like he takes the champagne bottle, I was like, okay. And he throws it down.
You guys do it.
He was having fun with his teammates, pouring beer on their head, throwing each other in the pool. And like, so he definitely, I think he maybe just reserved his emotions for when he got in the back with that core group, because let's be honest, those are the guys he went to battle with every day for 5 months.
Yeah, and then the parade in Denver is going to be on Thursday. So I'm kind of hoping we see a little bit more personality out of Joker. Everyone says he's a really funny guy, and he does have a great personality. He just doesn't show it, you know, to the press and stuff. So I am hoping at the parade we're going to see, like, not full-on Kelsey Gronk performance at the parade or P.J. Tucker a few years ago with the Bucks. Yeah, remember P.J. Tucker had the full big gold bottle, Ace of Spades?
But it's also like,
but just something in the middle. I want to just see fun Joker.
Can you remember when people would come out and be like, no, Tim Duncan's really funny? And everyone was like, wait, what?
They think
like,
Bill Belichick's super funny. Okay.
Same with Kawhi. People say Kawhi's really funny.
Hopefully one day we'll get to see Kawhi's already got two of them things. It gives me hope that maybe one day, but I don't know.
Maybe
but, man, congrats. You know, celebrate the way you want to celebrate.
Of course.
Bottom line is no one can ever take this away from what those guys did. It was phenomenal. And, you know, I give a shout out to some guys, some long-term vets, you know, like DeAndre Jordan, former Clipper, got a ring.
Reggie Jackson. Yeah.
And Ish Smith, right? Ish Smith has played for 13 teams Ish Smith has played for 13 teams in his NBA career, and the man finally got himself a piece of jewelry. So that says a lot about persistence. The man got cut or traded so many times, and he just kept hanging on, and, you know, he finally reached the summit, man. So props to him, too, even though he didn't obviously play a huge part on the court. But we don't know what these guys do in practice. We don't know what, you know, these vets, like I said, they see things maybe that Malone doesn't see. They kind of put their wisdom to the younger guys. So I'm sure each one of them probably got into someone's ear who was playing a lot and helped them out, helped make them better. So,
hey, I wanted to mention this in terms of, we were just talking about Jokic and in terms of how he might retire early. It made me think, I was thinking about that last night where you see this guy, he plays so hard, he plays such a beautiful game, but I do also wonder, like, if he genuinely loves the game. You know what I mean? Like, because you think, like, you need to have a love of the game to win, to be an MVP best player in the league, but maybe you don't, though. So it had me thinking, like, does he genuinely have the passion of, like, a Kobe or a... you know, even a LeBron or these guys, you know, that really love the game. And I don't know, but he played like it. So I guess that's all that matters.
Adam, I saw this thing today, and I don't know if he said this or it could have been something that someone just made up on Instagram, but there was a shot of him and there was a quote underneath it. And like I said, I don't know if he really said it, but it, and now I can't remember exactly, but it essentially said, it's a job. Who really likes their job? Like, you know, so kind of giving kind of credence to what you said. Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know if that's something he said or if that's just something that somebody tried to be funny to make up. But yeah, he definitely did treat it like a job. Well, it's which like, is what
it's
it
like,
is.
I bring it up to you all the time, Adam, that that Neil Brennan tweet about Kawhi, where Kawhi seems like the guy who works a 9-to-5 and goes home to his family in Riverside, and they have no idea what he does.
Dad went to work for a few hours,
and now he's home for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Jokic seems like the same thing. Like, I can't wait for the videos that we're going to probably come out next week of him with his horses.
Yeah, on
his
rent,
back in Serbia, just walking down the street, and everyone's like, hey.
And it would probably be true. If his daughter wasn't there, she probably wouldn't know what her dad did for work. You know, I mean, obviously she's just so little.
I mean, his maniac brothers and like, you know, I don't know. But he doesn't seem like he's a killer like Kobe and MJ and LeBron.
Doesn't seem like he's obsessed with basketball.
Yeah, okay, we say that, but then you see those shots of him where he's going, and not a lot, but he's just losing his crap on the bench when something's going wrong.
I did love that clip. That was awesome.
And even he had a quote where he said he saw Bruce Brown taking a step back three, and he goes, at first, I wanted to punch him, but then he hit it. So I was like, great. And it was like, so, I mean,
we did see it. He did, cut a cheap shot to one of the Morris twins. And remember the year before, two years before that, he had that massive swipe and got ejected from a playoff game for that. I mean, like, obviously there's something inside of
him. He's got the dog in him when necessary.
Yeah, he's definitely has a dog, the competitive spirit, for sure.
Yeah. But is he a killer like Kobe and Mike? Probably.
He has to be seen.
He might be surrounded by killers, you know what I'm saying? Hint, wink, wink.
Maybe. Denver repeat next year?
Whew. You know what? I think it's too early. Let's let them just bask in their glory before.
Man, Mad Dog had an insane list today of like teams to watch out for or like title favorites for next year.
He had Golden State won, right?
Boston wasn't even on it. Like, what are we doing?
I saw Trae Young tweeted like we're next or something. Yeah, like, what? Yeah. You and Murray are going to get back. Like, what are you talking about?
Think about it, guys.
What team are you going to be on, Trae Young?
First title in 47 years. Like, yeah, if you've never won, you got to sit there and think, yeah, why not? Why couldn't we? Because 3 years ago, if I'd have said, well, 3 years ago was the bubble, and they did go to the conference finals. So, yeah, maybe. But no one, like I said, nobody at the beginning of the season was picking the Nuggets to, you know, have the Larry O'B trophy in their possession. So you really just don't know. You never know, because the game of basketball is you kind of ride a wave, you get hot, you stay healthy, and you have to have all the stars aligned for you. And who knows, maybe one day you too can do the job and then go home, just like Joker.
And I like, in terms of the Nuggets, that they're a homegrown team, that they drafted Jokic in the second round, who has to be at this point, besides Dennis Rodman, he arguably now is the greatest second-round pick in NBA history by far. And then
it was during a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah.
Literally, it was in a commercial. Yeah, he got drafted on the bottom line.
Banner. Yeah.
You didn't see the screen grab yesterday?
I don't think I saw that.
It was during
I've been showing that screen grab for years, though.
Yeah, it was during a Taco Bell commercial he got drafted.
Oh, they've got to do a commercial.
Well, they were saying like, just bring back that whatever meal it was at Taco Bell. Cause I don't think I think it's discontinued, but
I guarantee Jokic has never had one taco from Taco Bell in his entire life.
That guy looks like he only eats Taco Bell.
He's not exactly Giannis built. He probably has had his fair share of tacos.
I love that picture.
He's more of an Arby's guy.
I love that. I love that picture of him as a kid where he's like super fat. He's like 12 or something. I love that photo going around. There was also another one when he was
five with the Nuggets
sweatshirt.
But see, I'm like hesitant because now I don't know what to believe anymore. That could have been easily photoshopped. So I'm like, did he really have this on?
I don't know.
Just give the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, there was a picture of him 5 years old wearing a Denver Nuggets sweatshirt.
So. And I didn't realize this. I was looking this up. One of his brothers played basketball in Europe, and the other played at a D1 college here. I don't remember which one.
The less frightening one played at the D1 college here.
Those guys are frightening. And you have to believe that.
No, Adam, one of them is frightening.
One of them
the
is, one is like head to toe tatted up.
The other one
up.
Looks like he could be the 12th man on the team, like Willie Hernan Gomez or something. But his older brother, man, like, let me tell you, you don't. That man came
down. He almost
down
body slammed a Joker after the game.
Picked his 7 foot, 280 pound baby brother up like he was five and was just like shaking him. And it was just like, yo, no, I definitely don't want no smoke with that guy.
I've
man.
Never seen a scarier pair of siblings that. Yeah. That Jokic has in the NBA ever.
And by the way, the Morris twins are from Philly. And one thing I've always said, coming from Pennsylvania, I don't know nobody from Philly that can't fight.
Right.
Okay. No, I mean, boys, girls, kids, everybody I know from Philly can squabble a little bit. So, I mean, that would be interesting if they had to go head up, but let's hope it never gets
there. But you have to give them credit also. I'm sure they had a massive impact on his development as a basketball player.
Yeah. Because made him tougher.
Yeah, they're 11, 12 years older than him, and so they're teaching him everything at a younger age, and he's able to develop at a quicker pace than if he didn't have those guys. So shout out to the Jokic brothers, just because I don't want them to beat me up at some time.
All right, well, that's going to do it. It's been an awesome NBA season. So here's the deal. NBA draft in a couple of weeks. We'll come back and do a pod then. And then winning time, season two.
Baby. August, baby.
August 6th. Can't so we're going to be back. Go. We're going to be back.
You're going to love this because it's all Lakers and Celtics. So this is probably going to be your favorite.
We're going to review winning time each week, right? Let's do it.
Why not?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Looks like they're doing the 81-82 season or something like that based on the preview yesterday.
All I saw was Bird and Magic.
It looks like Pat Riley's the head coach.
Yeah.
And Bird is bad. This guy who plays Larry Bird is awesome. Anyway, we're going to be back for the NBA draft in a couple weeks, and then we'll be back in August to recap winning time each episode. So that's going to be great. Thank you guys for listening, watching throughout
Appreciate the year.
Awesome Thank NBA season. Congrats to the Denver Nuggets.
No
Congrats,
doubt.
Adam. Congrats, TJ. You guys are the best as well.
You guys are the
and
best.
We will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Later.